Paul has to forgive him?
He is the only guy, Joe, that has not been put on the ballot. The baseball writers, you know, all the steroid guys are on the ballot. Mm-hmm. The baseball writers never had a swing at Joe.
I mean, at Pete.
He never was on the ballot. So, you know, unless they had a special emergency vote and gave him a one-time shot on the baseball writers' ballot, I think he'd make it with the baseball writers.
Before we go to break, boys, I want to tease the audience and you two, because I've been sitting on this for a couple of hours, but I have a piece of audio gold when we return that you two I know are going to learn.
Where's the hard-working rook?
I think we're industry-related
today. We got an industry.
It's a little cold. I hope it's an indoor
event. I bet it is.
I hope it's an indoor event.
Heard on the news about that 5-year-old who found his uncle's gun. The kid didn't know it was loaded.
I heard on the news about that 14-year-old girl who was bullied online for like a year. She couldn't take it anymore, so she got her dad's gun from his nightstand.
I heard on the news about that guy who broke into someone's house, stole a gun from the hall closet.
He accidentally shot his cousin in the head.
She killed herself.
And later, killed the owner of the store he was trying to rob.
If you own a gun, you have a full-time responsibility. When you aren't using it, be sure it can't get into the hands of curious children, troubled teenagers, a thief, or anyone else who might misuse it. Your family, friends, and neighbors are all counting on you. Remember, always lock it up. For more information on firearm storage safety, visit ncpc.org. This message brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, and the Ad Council.
Keyboard Cat, Hamilton the Pug, and Toast Meets World. These are some of the internet's most beloved pets. With millions of YouTube views, shares, Instagram likes, followers, and fans across the globe. But what do all these amazing pets have in common? Their stories started in a shelter. Start your story. Adopt a dog or cat today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a shelter or adoptable pets near you. Training that pet to play the keyboard? Well, that's entirely up to you. Visit theshelterpetproject.org and hear more about Hamilton the Pug, Toast, and Keyboard Cat's amazing adoption stories. Start a story. Adopt a shelter or rescue pet today. Your perfect pet is just a click away at theshelterpetproject.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
A recent study reports that 14 adults become cybercrime victims every second, with more than 1 million victims every day. And the dangers facing us online will continue to grow. Don't be the next statistic. Make sure you stop and think before connecting online. Don't click on untrusted links or open unknown emails or attachments. Don't post personal information online. Always use strong passwords. Make sure your computer has the latest security software installed and keep it up to date. October is National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Make a pledge to take online safety seriously. Visit www.cisecurity.org to sign the National Cyber Pledge and find out what you can do to protect yourself in cyberspace. This is a public service announcement brought to you by the Center for Internet Security and this radio station.
Wild did not fare well at the Bruin.
We're very sick. We had all that diarrhea and stuff like
that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, we had
bad. Didn't need to know that.
Well, no, you did if you read the Gamers.
I didn't.
Chad Graff. In fact, I saw a tweet from Chad Graff. He says, all I got to say about my story for tomorrow is that word diarrhea is in the first paragraph. So apparently, what is wrong with our Wild? Last year, mumps and other diseases and flu-like symptoms, where did the guys go?
I think it has to do with the equipment.
Do you?
It's too moldy.
Well, that could be
too
why
sweaty.
That causes bacteria in the locker rooms, I'm sure.
But mumps was league-wide.
But mumps was league-wide.
Yeah.
But the diarrhea and the flu-like symptoms, they get it. They get the flu-like symptoms. They might have went the Primanti brothers the night before the game about 2 a.m. Go get a – if you get a Primanti brother sandwich about 2:30 a.m., you got a chance to have diarrhea.
The next day. Yeah.
You know what the Primanti brothers sandwich is?
In Boston?
In Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
They put the fries in the bread.
Oh, I don't
boy.
Do that.
You get the meat and the fries and all of that. This is a sandwich that they used to make for the dock workers back when they used to come up the river. And it started in the 1930s, and they slapped everything between the bread.
Sure.
And they'd take it, you know, everything. It's kind of like the pasty up in the upper Michigan that the miners used to take down into the pits with them. So the Primanti brothers, I ate at Primanti Brothers the original two, three times at 2 in the morning. Only sober person to appear after midnight in Primanti Brothers in the last 30 years.
Why would you have been there at 2?
I went with a couple of drunks, a couple of guys who were
overserved.
That's
probably the only place open, too.
Overserved, wanted to go to Primanti Brothers, and I was always up for a sandwich, but 2 o'clock in the morning at Primanti Brothers, that's no place for a sober person.
No, not really.
Mm-mm, no.
Boys, today was a big day in the music world.
Yeah.
Okay. I hope it wasn't another death.
No. The release of Adele's highly anticipated new album
is
today.
Let me tell you a story. Okay. Last night I'm watching Spotless on the Esquire Network, recommended highly. I'd been recommended to me. I watched it. But every commercial was Adele singing a song
for the new CD.
Target apparently is pushing the hell out of this.
Because thing. They had the special edition where you've got three bonus tracks in the Target tracks. CD and whatnot.
She's not as chubby as she used to be.
Well,
she's a stout girl.
I'm just a big,
got
big
fan. Got impressive pipes, though. She
and
does.
Here at 1500 ESPN,
I'm ready.
We were able to, I guess, basically secure the only track of the duet that Adele did for her hit song, Hello.
All right.
And she did this.
How's it a hit if it's just released today?
Well, it's been leaked on the internet.
Okay.
But Hello's been played for a couple of weeks now. But this is the duet with Adele and our very own Syd Hartman.
Really?
Hello.
Hello.
It's me.
Where's the party?
I was wondering if after all these years you'd like me to go over.
Are you going?
Everything. They say the time's supposed to heal ya, but I ain't done much healing. Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger.
No, they're going to be okay. Hello?
Okay, that's just wonderful. I didn't know that Syd had been recruited.
Yes.
Well, oh, my God, that's
pretty
classic.
Good. I got to get that one out there on Twitter and tell people that they can find it.
Hello?
I almost don't know if I should put this out there because I want to keep it for us.
Yes.
But,
hello?
I mean,
you got to put it out there.
Sydney was very good. And,
he was.
Just the way he came in initially
just
on that downbeat. Just want to hear the first one.
Just the first one.
Subtle.
Okay.
Just where he says hello.
He really gets it, doesn't he, right away?
He had kind of a finger snap going.
Adele and Syd Hartman on 1500 ESPN.
Hello.
Hello.
It's me.
Where's the party?
You know, I got to tell you, wife.
God,
I don't think the wife pays any. She doesn't listen to that kind of music.
Oh, really?
No, she likes, you know, fruity, jazzy stuff.
Okay. I see. I thought she would be a P1 for Adele.
No,
okay.
But she was so. It's very difficult to get her to sit through anything that's not taped.
Okay.
During commercials, because
she wants
spoiled,
to zip through it.
You know,
yep.
She
yep.
wants to, but
she's just
says,
like my 4-year-old.
She has to listen to Adele, and she says, she's never happy. Why are none of her songs ever happy? She says, why is she so sad? I said, well, she used to be fat. Maybe that's why.
It.
I don't know. I said, she
does
looks
she
okay
have any
now.
Upbeat tunes, Reeves?
Oh, yeah. She's got, rumor has it's a favorite of mine. That's an upbeat tune.
So how do we know if she's not releasing? So why is this such a big event? She hasn't released one in a couple of years? Or what?
Yeah, the last one came out in 2011, I believe.
Now, and this is, they're attempting to get you to buy these how? Because you don't just buy CDs.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I believe that
the agreement
that she had, this will not be streamed on any service. So you have to physically
buy
a
CD
disc. Yeah.
And
if you buy it
at Target, you get three
you
extra
You get the three extra bonus tracks for that.
Well, she's appealing to you and I, but the music doesn't appeal.
Hello.
Hello.
That's Sid at his finest.
It is. Sid
didn't know he had it in him, to be honest.
Yes.
Sports Talk's going to return in a moment.
We interrupt this program to bring you Vikings Vet Line, the one show where you get to react to how the Purple played right away.
Right away.
Call in now with your thoughts on the game. 651-646-8255. This is Vikings Vent Line.
I don't need to take my medicine.
Presented by Red Cow and Red Rabbit.
I don't know if this passing game can carry them.
Now, alongside the superstar Mike Morris.
So much fun to watch.
I just don't know what the problem is.
Here's Phil Mackey.
Second and goal. Pass to the back of the end zone. And a touchdown for Rudolph. Second and 11. Keenum throws. Pass is caught by Rudolph. And the big tight end carries it inside Lions territory. Stop the clock. Here is pressure on Keenum. And a touchdown for Rudolph. What a throw by Keenum under heavy pressure. And Kyle Rudolph has got his second of the game.
9-2. After this Thanksgiving Day victory over the Detroit Lions, it's a special Thanksgiving edition of Vikings Vet Line right here on AM 1500 ESPN KSTP, Minneapolis, St. Paul. We're going to check in with the superstar Mike Morris from his family gathering, where I'm sure he's in a food coma after eating 9 plates of food and watching Case Keenum throw for 282 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Manny Hill from the Ride with Royce is hanging out. And we'll take your phone calls. I know you're sitting there trying to fend off the tryptophan from the turkey you ate earlier this afternoon. So give us a call, 651-646-8255, 877-615-1500. We're also streaming live on Facebook.com/1500ESPN. So thank you for consuming Vikings Vent Line in any fashion that you are. Red Cow and Red Rabbit will keep us commercial free for the majority of the first hour here. And Manny, the Vikings jumped out to a really impressive lead early on. They were humming along. Referees, I hate it when fans overreact to officiating, that all of the officials are always trying to screw your favorite team, and generally that's an overreaction. Today, the officiating was atrocious, but the Vikings offense was very good for the majority of the game. The defense rattled Matthew Stafford. So a million things to talk about in this one. What stood out to you the most before we jump into some of these phone calls?
Yeah, the officiating was really weird and really, like, not good at times. The taunting call on Case Keenum, I'm baffled by that. I can't believe they actually, like, threw a flag and called him for taunting for that. Like, he got sacked and he kind of sat up and sort of, I guess, kind of flicked the football in the direction of, was it Ziggy Ansah who sacked him? I think.
And then he started rolling around on the ground here's all you need to know about the NFL. First of all, I agree with you. That was an atrocious call. I don't want officiating to dominate the show,
it was
so noticeable.
Yeah.
The Stephon Diggs pass interference was egregious after they had already thrown like 15 penalties, and then they don't call that. But you can gather all 11 players on offense and do a group Thanksgiving celebration with Stephon Diggs holding the ball up in the air like a turkey. But if you flick the football in the general direction at a defender, that's 15 yards. Like, you can do a baseball home run derby celebration in the end zone, and that's legal now, which it should be in the NFL. But if you flick a football in the direction of a defensive player, 15-yard penalty. Like, come on.
It's so weird because, you know, I'm with you. Like, I don't like to point to officials and say that they dictate the outcome of the game and that they're, you know, they're, the bad calls change the landscape of the game or anything like that. But you just want these guys to be consistent. And a lot of times they're just not. And sometimes they just, they flag things because they think they see something that might look like something that's a penalty, and it, then you look at the replay, and it's like, what? You know, what are you looking
right.
at? So,
right.
yeah, it's got to be more consistent, but great win for the Purple.
Yeah, so on the field, Vikings 9-2 now. They have a decisive lead in the division, and if the Lions had won that game, it would have been the biggest comeback in the history of Thanksgiving Lions games, and it also, because they would have owned the tiebreaker in the division over the Vikings, it would have made the race down the stretch a lot more interesting. But I think you probably clinched the division with that win today, unofficially. 651-646-8255, 877-615-1500. It's Vikings Vent Line, Randy in Oakland. What's up, Realistic Randy?
Man, these officials, they're working hard for Vegas today, I'm telling you. Nothing irritates me more with all the ticky-tack calls that they make on the field that the refs do, but they miss the obvious calls like the pass interference on Stephon Diggs. They just sat there, looked at it, and said, yeah, that was a clean play.
Right.
That stuff really gets on my nerves. But you know what? The other point that I have, it was a good win, and it was a good division win and everything like that. But I, for as much as we praise Pat Shurmur as far as being the magician wizard offensively and making the play calls, I don't understand why we go from, to start the game, super creative play calling, open up the playbook, and then late in games when the game is tight, it goes into super conservative, super predictable, run, pass, very reminiscent of the Ponder days. So for as much as we praise him, I have noticed that lately in the last couple of games when the going gets tough and when the pressure is on Case Keenum, suddenly it goes run, pass, and then on third down, hopefully he can make it on third down pass. So I think they need to open up the playbook more for the rest of the game instead of just 3.5 quarters.
Well, I think what you saw there, and I love your thoughts on this, Manny and Realistic Randy. The Redskins game was a bit of an eye-opener for the Vikings coaching staff, and that they had this huge lead, and they kind of kept the gas pedal down in case Keenum threw two horrible interceptions. And so now, you know, the Rams game and then the Lions game here, it looked to me like they had the 17-point lead, and they just didn't want Keenum to throw interceptions like he did against the Redskins, so they went into run mode. And you know, they had success running the ball. They ran. They had like 120 yards in the early part of the third quarter.
Yeah.
And so they were having success, and it just felt to me like, you know, we like you, Case, and you're having a great season, but we don't want you to throw the ball 20 times when we're up by 17 points because there might be an interception. How there wasn't a strip sack there at the end on that last play, that third down play. Mm-hmm. I can't believe he held onto the ball in that scenario, but he did. And now I think we have to officially declare this season rides or dies with Case Keenum. You're getting to the point where you're not going to bench him for the next game. He was
right.
He was very good today. And if you get into December, we're talking two calendar years almost since the last time Teddy Bridgewater played in an NFL game. So in a regular season or postseason right. game. So you're just to the point where whether you love him, whether you're skeptical, your season rides or dies here, probably starting right now with Case Keenum at the helm.
Yeah, and I think, too, when you're up, when you look at the scoreboard and you're up 27-10, there is always kind of that tendency to just not really be conservative, but just say, okay, we've got a healthy lead, defense is playing well, let's not try and do anything too crazy or too stupid, or let's not, you know, throw out every single creative, innovative play that we have in our playbook and try and blow this game open because we have a healthy lead. And sometimes, you know, you get a little conservative and the next thing you know, a couple things happen here or there. A call gets missed, changes everything. Lions get a couple field goals and then a touchdown. The Marvin Jones Junior touchdown catch that he makes was a ridiculous catch.
That was absurd.
It was like 40 plus yards. Stafford got banged up on the play, ended up coming back in. But sometimes a play like that just happens, and he makes a ridiculous catch, and you just say, okay, now it's a 4-point game again. Now we probably have to turn things on again, and put the pedal to the metal again. So it's weird like that.
Hey, Randy, any other thoughts from Oakland?
Well, I mean, I guess the only thing that I would add to that is if you're going to get conservative, because here's the thing, who's to say that if the Lions were suddenly to tie the game up, which they had a lot of momentum going for them, then you go from conservative play calling to all of a sudden, all right, let's open up the playbooks again. And Case Keenum, he just didn't, in my opinion, he didn't really look comfortable when the pressure was on. So I'm all with the whole fact of, okay, Case Keenum is probably the starting quarterback for the rest of the year. I'm okay with that. But they need to work on those two-minute drills, because if you get in a position, because all of a sudden you're relying on only your defense, saying, all right, defense, bail us out, keep them at bay. But then all of a sudden, if the opposing team can score, suddenly we're asking Case Keenum to go from, okay, conservative play calling to, all right, let's open things up again. I think that's just not really good as far as for the long-term success of this season. I think they need to work on that, especially if you're going to ride with Case Keenum, because there may be opportunities where the defense isn't going to hold up like they do normally, and you may have to match quarterback play with quarterback play. So I just wasn't a fan of it to close the game. The first 3.5 quarters, yeah, that's great. And if you're going to run the ball with some creativity. Like I said, it just felt like a lot of Christian Ponder days, run, pass the ball, and then when Case Keenum got the opportunity to pass the ball, he looked flustered out there. So I think they need to work on it. It was a good win, but I'm just really uneasy with the way they finished the last couple of games.
That's a good phone call from our buddy Realistic really Randy in Oakland. Let's go right to line number two here. We have a couple open lines here. It's Thanksgiving. I know a lot of you guys are with family today, so we appreciate you taking time out of your family celebrations and the big dinner you are either anticipating eating at some point today or the one that you already ate. 651-646-8255, 877-615-1500. Red Cow and Red Rabbit are powering this edition and the entire season of Vikings Ventline. We'll check in with the superstar Mike Morris shortly. We'll get some thoughts from Matthew Collar from the Purple Podcast. Linda in Wyoming. Linda, now you nailed it in my timeline on Twitter. You said they wouldn't score the rest of the game with Case Keenum at quarterback. They didn't, but they still won the game.
Yeah, and what my thought is this:
they got a field goal, I guess. They got a field goal out of it.
Field goal, right? Yeah, they were one incomplete pass away to Golden Tate tying that game. And when you're going to play not to lose rather than to win and hope your defense comes through, I agree with what Randy is just saying. You know, you're going to lose all of that momentum. And my thought goes back to this. I remember this past week when you were talking about, do you like the 2009 Vikings better or this team better? And you know what? You just said it. If we're afraid Keenum's going to go wild and throw those interceptions, so we're going to pull him in and rein him in and go back to the run pass, I don't think that then this team is similar to what the 2009 team was. So I think they came through. I think the division is pretty much theirs. I don't think it would have been if they had lost today because of the upcoming schedule. But, man, I tell you, when you start talking about how far can this team go, I think when you have a game like this, it makes you kind of wonder at times. But the D did pull it out again when I didn't think they would. So thanks for doing this on the holidays, guys. I enjoy it.
Linda, we thank you for the phone call, and you always bring good insight every week. Manny, I said this on our radio show about the 2017 Vikings, so this year's team, versus the 09 Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
I think two-point opinion here. Number one, I think the only two areas that the 2009 Vikings had an advantage over the 2017 Vikings are kicker and quarterback.
Yeah.
Defense, you know, people might say, well, the run-stopping defense, the Williams wall, this defense allows fewer yards per rush than that defense did.
Yeah.
This is an unbelievable run-stopping defense.
And you could throw on that defense in 09. Absolutely. Williams wall was, you know, Pat and Kevin were really good in the middle, clogging the lanes and not allowing teams to run on them. But you could kind of throw on that defense a little bit. This defense is, that we're seeing this year, is a totally different beast. This is a much better defense,
it is.
I think.
Even with that said, I would still take the 2009 team because of the importance of kicker and quarterback.
Right.
And Case Keenum is playing extremely well. He's actually, we were talking about this with Chris Long from Channel 5, watching the game off microphone. He's number one in the NFL among active quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson's actually number one, but he's out for the year, in QBR. ESPN puts into context performances. So, I mean, Case Keenum's been magnificent, but Brett Favre is a Hall of Fame quarterback. So,
right.
And the irony here is Brett Favre wound up being untrustworthy because he threw an interception that ended your season. So I get the irony in saying I'd rather have the quarterback from 09 than the quarterback right now, and that's the most important thing. But the fact that we can have that debate, that was a Super Bowl winning caliber team if they hadn't shot themselves in the foot back in 09.
Doesn't it speak, though, to like the last two calls with Linda and Randy that we just had about sort of the conservative play calling and you know, in the later parts of the game? Doesn't that really kind of speak to why we're still a little bit hesitant to just say Case Keenum is the guy going forward? Because I think you kind of saw it today in comparison to, you know, the Washington game where, you know, they were flooring it against Washington and he throws the two picks. And then, you know, you turn around this week and you're like, well, okay, we got a big lead. Let's not let Case do anything too crazy. Let's not have him throw a pick six and get the Lions right back into this game on one play. So, yeah, I mean, I think that speaks to where they're at on Case Keenum. Like, they're going to ride it out with Case Keenum as long as they can, as long as he's playing well overall. But I do buy into the fact that they're a little bit hesitant to just make him the bona fide guy going forward and, hey, let's sign him to an extension and he's the guy going forward. Yeah. Because he's still, as well as he's playing right now, Phil, he's still very much an unknown. We don't know how long he's actually going to be able to sustain this.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I mean, long term, it's very likely he falls into the Brian Hoyer, Ryan Fitzpatrick bin of he's a backup who's hot right now. And so I think it's okay to say that, acknowledge it, and also acknowledge that Teddy Bridgewater at some point long term is the better quarterback prospect. And if put in the ideal conditions like Case Keenum has right now, mm-hmm. Bridgewater could thrive. That said, you're too late in the season now for Bridgewater, who hasn't played a competitive football game in 2 years, coming off a catastrophic injury.
Yep.
And I'm all aboard finding out what Bridgewater has long term. Now, his contract's going to be up and you're going to have to figure that out, but you're too far into the season and Keenum is still playing too well for this to be a discussion going forward. And right. I've been very much in the middle on this, but it's going to be December and you're going to start Case Keenum 10 days from now mm-hmm. on the road. So we just, barring an injury, it's very possible Teddy could still get into a game at some point, but as far as like, all right, you got to look for a spot to put him in for a half. It's just, it's getting too late in the season almost. We have one open phone line, 651-646-8255, 877-615-1500. Vikings Vent Line, Phil Mackey, Manny Hill, Jonathan on the controls and taking your phone calls. Will in St. Paul, you're on the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. One thing I didn't really like today and I'm a little concerned about is Keenum's ability to check plays at the line. I think there was one time the Lions brought an extra man in the box and an overhang player that looked to be unblocked, and he, you know, he called some audible, and I thought, you know, he's either going to, you know, check the play the other way or pass it. Troy Aikman said something on the broadcast about that. Oh, I think he's going to pass it, but no, we run right into the unblocked overhang player. Another time I see him checking a play at the line, McKinnon gets stuffed for, you know, a loss of yards. So I think he needs to get better at checking plays at the line, getting us in better situations. The other thing I didn't like was Zimmer's challenge. I saw you talking about that during the day.
That was so stupid.
I mean, he's right there. It's 10 feet in front of him. It's not even close. I know he has eye problems, but come on. It was awful.
That's the thing. Not only, Will, should you never, as a coach, throw a challenge flag based on something you thought you saw live. When you have replays all over the place, you should have somebody glued to a monitor up in a press box somewhere. But when you only have one real working eye, it makes it even worse, as you just said.
Yeah, maybe a couple eye surgeries ago, he could have done that.
Yeah,
even
for
still,
sure.
That was awful.
Those things, thank you for the call, Will. We noticed those things too. Mike Zimmer, like almost every football coach in America, needs someone to be by his side, some assistant coach, just for game theory and game management, timeout management. Is this really worth burning a timeout for? If this game becomes close, I'm a little more willing to give leeway in the first half. Okay, you know, take a gamble. Timeouts aren't quite as important in the first half. But when you might need one of those timeouts late in the game on the road, you better be damn sure when you throw that challenge flag.
Well, you go back to Sunday when they challenged they thought the Rams punter stepped on the back line of the back of the end zone.
Because so they saw the replay in the stadium
it's,
that everyone
it's
on,
like,
yeah.
who I'm thinking to myself, and I even tweeted it out, who told Zimmer to challenge that? Like, somebody has to be there almost like attached to the hip of Mike Zimmer and just tell, nope, don't challenge that. No, leave it alone.
He should have to pry the challenge leg away from somebody who's watching replays. Yeah.
No, Mike, give me the flag.
So I would say things that I really liked about the victory today, Latavius Murray in general was really good again. It looks like the ankle's healthy. He had a 46-yard run. Adam Thielen, just Mr. Automatic every week, 8 catches, 89 yards. Kyle Rudolph, 4 for 63, a couple of touchdowns, and that drop in the bucket throw by Case Keenum. Just brilliant. Got absolutely obliterated, hanging in there in the pocket and drops brilliant in the bucket. Stephon Diggs also wound up with some good numbers, 5 catches for 66 yards. Let's go to Tom in Columbia Heights. You're on Vikings Vet Line. Happy Thanksgiving, Tom.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for doing this on Thanksgiving, guys.
Our really pleasure, man, for sure.
First off, with that challenge, honestly, I think Zimmer just wanted the timeout, and I think that there might have been a 0.001% chance that he might have gotten the call. So I just think that he needed to take a longer timeout to get his defense, because they were kind of gassed at that point. So I'm going to defend Zimmer a little bit in that way. But my real reason for calling was I'm a full-blown Keniac. This guy is our quarterback for the rest of the season. I don't care if he throws 5 picks next week. We ride or die with Case. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Right on, man. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And of course, if you're all aboard the Keenum train, then today's performance was the first half might have been the best half he's played all year, just slinging the ball. He's really good at surveying the landscape down the field and also feeling pressure and staying upright, staying behind the line of scrimmage. He was sacked a couple times. The first time, I think, in like 2 months, the Vikings have given up more than 1 sack in a game. But his ability to feel pressure and hang in there and make a throw is outstanding.
Really good. Yeah, he's really good. There was one on the first drive where he sort of slid to the side and then just stepped up and made a money throw to Thielen over the middle. I mean, that's great pocket presence. He has that. I mean, there's sometimes where he might be in a little trouble and he'll backpedal and he'll just kind of flip something up in the air and.
Yeah.
It hasn't been that critical game changing interception yet, but I just worry about when he does that. But look, he's playing well. He's doing a nice job overall.
This offensive line also, I know it wound up being only like 3 yards per carry on the ground, but it was much better early in the game and they were grinding clock late.
Yep.
But they deserve credit for road grading as a run blocking unit too. 651-646-8255. 2 open phone lines right now if you want to chime in on this Thanksgiving afternoon. Let's go to Mike and Savage and find out how much of a food coma he's in right now.
Right now, I'm on my third batch of mashed potatoes only. I'm a complex carbohydrate. That's my diet, only mashed potatoes. So, and you know what? I've been waiting to call P-Mac. I'm glad you could take my call. I can't stand you. There's nothing that I like about you, and I don't want... why don't you try and become a better person and just let's just talk with Judd Zolgad.
You've been reading my emails again, Star, haven't you?
I am. I also commented on Facebook a little bit too, young man, but I thought, you know what? This guy's got a great point. I agree totally with what he's saying about PMAC.
Yeah. And, I agree too, quite frankly. I don't know why these people call in to criticize me. I hate myself as well. So
so let's just have that out in the open now. It's just We've cleared the dust, and the dust has settled, and you're still the same jackass that you've always
That's
been.
True.
At least you know it now. So,
Manny wants to know if he can come over later and go hot tubbing in your hot tub full of gravy.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, hell, there's plenty of room. Actually, I got 2 vats brewing right now, and you know what? We could just pop the lid on the second batch and just hop on in there. What the heck, man? I've got a vat, another huge jacuzzi full of stuffing. It's just a little bit harder to get used to. It's a texture problem.
Wow.
I'm on my way right now, Star.
All right. Come on over. Bring a suit.
Wow. That is delicious. So the Vikings are 9-2. Things got a little weird there with like the refs got weird. The game got close and there are some kicking issues and things, but ultimately it's a road win. You may have clinched the division unofficially today, and Case Keenum goes for another 282, 10 yards per throw, a couple of touchdowns. So What do you think of our purple here, Star?
This is a real deal team. This is a real 9-2. That's a strong number. Only one team better than us in the NFC, and that's the red hot Philadelphia Eagles. And this is a fun team to watch because they've got a little of everything. They got the Keenum is playing out of his mind, as consistent and as smart a player as you could possibly ask for, especially in a backup role. But I think that he's far better than a backup now. He's played himself up into something much more special than that, I think. But I'm really impressed with him. I love the fact that he can step up and make a play, that he can take off and run for a first down, that he can take off and run for a touchdown. Don't forget that one. And he's a gamer. He's a gamer. He's not the dynamic it factor Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees perhaps, but you know what? He is good enough to make this offense operate the way Shermer wants it to be operated, as long as they don't make mistakes and or penalties. They can mount drives and the defense can do their part. And I don't know why you can't have a conversation about the Vikings making a serious bid for a Super Bowl, because that's exactly what kind of football team we have.
Star, I know you and I, we talk a lot on the Star Power podcast. I know we talk a lot about the offensive line and how well they've played overall this year. How about your guy Elfline, the rookie, out in space running stride for stride with Stephon Diggs on that play there in the fourth quarter?
How about that? I mean, the guy is... He's one of those big road graders from Ohio State. They said he's got bad feet coming out in the draft. He's got poor feet. I didn't see any. I haven't seen any bad feet yet. The guy's an offensive lineman. You can do all the measurables and do everything you want to a 40-yard dash, whatever the case. But put a helmet on the guy. Put some shoulder pads on this guy. Throw him out there in a bubble screen and watch him tip people over left and right. And, he's trying to get downfield to get another block down the field in front of a Diggs. So he wants to be he's a one-man convoy. It's fun to watch the kid play. You can tell he loves the game of football, and he's having a great year as a rookie center.
Yeah, that was amazing. You guys ever seen a Happy Gilmore where the super tall guy is chasing Shooter, like the big giant guy is chasing yeah. Shooter McGavin? And like yeah. When I watch Elfline running,
to Mr. Gilmore.
When Elfline's running in open space and he's just in a sea of defensive backs who are smaller than him, and he's running a 3.8 40, just sprinting. It's pretty fun to watch.
It really is. And, it's priceless because there's so much want to in there. There's so much you can see on film of a guy that shouldn't be able to do what he's able to do against all those fast guys, and yet he's the one with the most effort, and he somehow gets it done. But I mean, those are the kind of players that you want to assemble. Are the guys who have heart and love to play the game, and he's definitely one of them. But the rest of those guys up on that offensive line are also very good about doing what they're doing up there. Riley Reiff having a great year. I mean, I don't know how many sacks they actually credited today. Maybe two.
To
the Lions, but that's. I mean, that is not a bad outing for the offensive line. But Riley Reiff and Easton and Berger and Hill, they deserve a lot of credit along with Elfline.
Yeah. So 9-2, they got a couple more road games coming up here, but it's impressive. It's super fun. And Star, I know you have a bunch more food to eat and people to entertain. So
yep.
We've got
a lot to do here, and I'll save you some food, and I'm gonna warm up the green bean tub. And I'm going to jump in some French-style green beans here with some maybe some ranch, light ranch, over the top of me.
Well, you got to be careful diving in too aggressively to the green bean tub. You never know where some of those green beans could wind up. So just be careful getting in there.
Don't go ahead first.
You never know. You want to test it with your feet first. So I will be doing that. Have a happy Thanksgiving, you guys. And the Vikings are 9-2. This is looking pretty good.
Awesome, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. We'll see you soon,
too,
Star.
Buddy. You bet. You guys take care.
See you, Star.
Superstar Mike Morris, Vikings Vent Line. Let's go right back to the Vent Lines here, Manny. We've been commercial-free for a half hour, thanks to Red Cow and Red Rabbit and the hot tub full of miscellaneous Thanksgiving foods at Superstar Mike Morris's down in the South Metro. Frank in Duluth, you're on with Manny Hill, Phil Mackey. It's Vikings Vent Line. Happy Thanksgiving, Frank.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, guys. Thanks for the program. Just want to say real quick, it's our 27th year this year. We had football on Thanksgiving with our family.
We've been doing it every year. It's always fun.
Awesome.
Really cold, really hot, but yeah, it's fun. Going to the Vikings real quick, though. You guys got to my point about Keenum taking the hit, going to Rudolph in the end zone, but other thing is just the run game. Besides that, right off the second half, the run game just looked didn't look that good. I don't know what happened, but that second half, right off the halftime, I don't know what happened, but yeah, it was really good. But thanks, guys. Really love the program, and happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Frank, and enjoy your 27th straight football gathering with the family. That's pretty cool. You know what? I think, first of all, you're not going to run for 6 yards a carry every single week.
Yeah.
So it did feel a little copyright Adrian Peterson, famine, feast, where you had the 40-plus yard run by Murray. You had a couple big runs. You had a McKinnon big run at one point, but a lot of stuff behind the line of scrimmage. But ultimately, when you go for a buck 36 in a game in which you're leading early and trying to grind clock and maintain the lead and not turn the ball over, I thought the Vikings running game was effective when it needed to be. And it was effective in just sort of shortening and limiting the number of possessions in the game in the second half. That was my take on it.
Yeah, I mean, and sometimes if you know, you run the ball on first down and, you know, Latavius Murray gets 3 yards, it's second and seven, that's better than, I mean, it sounds like, you know, 3 yards a carry isn't good, but with what we had been seeing, you know, without Adrian Peterson and maybe in a few times last year in the couple games that he played, where he just, you just hand it off and it's stuffed right at the line and it's second and 10 or you lost one, it's second 11, that changes everything. There's a big, because it determines what the next play call is going to be. You know, if it's second and 11, you're going to call a different play for second and 11 than you would for second and 7 or second and 6. And so today it just felt like there was a lot more second and 8, second and 7 type of situations. And, you know, it gives you a few more options as to what you can do for the next play. But if you're second and 10, second and 11, second and 12, because you just can't get anything, that puts you behind the eight ball. So I thought the running game, it wasn't great today, but it was good enough to keep the offense effective for pretty much the entire day.
That's Manny Hill from the Ride with Royce and the Raised by Wolves podcast. He's also was superstar on the Star Power podcast, 1500ESPN.com, 651-646-8255, 877-615-1500, Red Cow and Red Rabbit, powering Vikings Vent Line. Couple open phone lines. We're also live on Facebook if you have to like sneak away from your radio or something and you just want to maybe stare at us at a family gathering on your phone, facebook.com/1500ESPN. Ken in Illinois. What's up, Ken?
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, or as my daughter calls it, picking up dead chickens day.
you too, Ken.
I love your show. What I'm calling for is I know that a couple people have called in and, you know, kind of place some blame on Keenum about the lack of drive towards the end and what they weren't able to kind of like move the ball. I kind of would blame Zimmer or Shermer on that because I think that it's the coach's call to go more conservative. And I think Zim, with how he feels about his defense, would rather just have him try running on first down, running on second down. Well, if you're not getting anything on those first two downs, then you're going to have to pass on third, or you're going to be at third and seven. So I kind of think that the blame should, or not really blame, but the onus should be placed more on Zim and Shermer on their play calling than rather on Keenum.
Yeah, I think, Ken, I would say, I thought, I hate dissecting play calling because there's so much that goes into it that we aren't privy to. These NFL coordinators and coaches are scheming against a defensive coordinator each week, and sometimes they're molding game plans specific to things they see on film that, well, not sometimes, all the time, that we don't get to see. So in general, I don't like to get in the weeds on play calling because that's a really easy way as a fan or a guy with a microphone to sound like an idiot, right? That being said, I think in general, Pat Shermer as a schemer does a really good job of just squeezing toothpaste out of tubes. Case Keenum and Sam Bradford have played their best football under the Pat Shermer scheme and offense.
Yeah.
And so from a macro perspective, I think he's done a great job. Now, could we sit here and nitpick a little bit in certain situations? Yeah. I mean, did it get stagnant there when the Lions were making a run? Absolutely. Could they maybe have been a little bit more creative in the way that they went about their play calling pattern in the second half? I guess I'd have to go back and look. Maybe. But in general, I think Pat Shurmur has done a wonderful job scheming and getting the most out of an undrafted career backup in Case Keenum and a guy who's never quite lived up to his potential in Sam Bradford with what we saw at least in week one. I know that Norv Turner was the offensive coordinator for half of last year, but Pat Shurmur's going to get head coaching interviews this offseason, might land a head coaching job based on the work he's done here with the Vikings.
Well, and let's not forget, too, they scored 30 points today.
Right.
Like,
yes.
30 points. If you're averaging 30 points over the course of a 16-game season, you're a pretty good offense. Now, the Vikings, I don't think they're averaging quite 30 points.
30 but, since the bye.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty good. And, yeah, there were some times during the game where it kind of the offense kind of lagged a little bit. But I think overall, big picture, 60-minute football game, I thought the offense overall put on a good enough performance to win the game today. So I know it's easy to just say, well, you know, that third quarter they should have done this and called this play and they should have done more of this and should have pushed the ball down the field a little bit more. But you know, the end result was 30 points, and it was 30 points scored entirely by the offense, and not to mention we had two field goals that were blocked today. So if those are made, we're talking 36 points. So, I mean, it's fine.
Yeah. And sometimes it's really easy to sit here and nitpick the gap between reality and perfection.
Yeah.
And reality for the Vikings right now is a really high bar. It's 9-2. It's 30 points per game since the bye. They're winning road games. They're beating the Rams handily. I mean, so is it perfect? No. But the New England Patriots aren't perfect. Yeah. They win a lot of championships, but I'm sure if you followed the Patriots as closely as you did the Vikings, you'd find like five things to nitpick in a lot of the games. Well, but in the end, you know that you have Tom Brady and rings and Bill Belichick, so it helps with those reference points.
And I think sometimes when you look at today, like they scored touchdowns in the first, I think it was the first two possessions or two of their first three possessions or something like that today. So when that happens, the automatic thought is that, well, this is just, they're going to do this. They're going to score two touchdowns in every quarter the rest of the way, and they're going to get 50 points today. But it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really work that way. And look, they ended up with 30 points and they won the game.
Yeah.
It's fine.
651-646-8255. A special Thanksgiving edition of Vikings Ventline. Manny Hill is in for the superstar Mike Morris. We just heard from his place down in the South Metro. He called in very graciously. He's doing stuff with family all day. So Red Cow and Red Rabbit are keeping this on the air today. Jonathan, taking your phone calls again. 651-646-8255. Hey, it's Roger in Oshkosh. Happy Thanksgiving, Roger.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you, and congratulations on the Vikings. They had a short week. They had to travel, and they played a wonderful game. I'm really calling to complain about the pass blocking of Riley Reiff. If he continues to allow one sack every 11 games, the whole franchise is going to crumble here.
I know, right? I mean, I thought Riley Reiff, who hadn't allowed a sack all season, crumbling under the pressure of playing his old team, allowed a bleeping sack today. Step up your game, Riley.
Yeah, he's been really good. The whole front five has been good. You were, Mackie, you were talking about Shurmur likely getting a lot of head coaching interviews. And if he does get hired, and he probably will be, considering the turmoil that's found in a lot of other franchises, there's a strong likelihood that he's going to try to sign Case Keenum to go with him. And the Vikings really, you know, they're going to have to kind of check their ego at the door when they decide which of the three guys they want to go with long term, because two of them have bad knees. Keenum is 29. He's experienced. He's at his peak as an athlete. And they should really consider signing Keenum to a 3 or 4 year deal and making him the go-to guy. I mean, I've seen enough.
You know, Roger, here's what I hate about the current NFL quarterback economic system. So, like, we could debate all day long. You've seen enough from Case. I haven't. Manny hasn't. I think he's playing really well. Mm-hmm. What I hate, though, is you have to make a decision basically right now. Do you want to pay him $15 or $20 million a year and guarantee like two or three of those years? There's no real middle ground. You can't say, you know, Case Keenum's been pretty good. He wasn't very good for 5 years. you know, let's pay him $8 million a year and see how it goes for the next two or three years, and then we can, like, move him to backup. It's tough to move an $18 million quarterback to backup because that takes up so much of your cap. So I hate that you have to make that decision potentially this offseason with a really small sample size, Roger.
Yeah, well, you know, as realistic Randy on the West Coast might say, that's the way it is. So you got two first rounders with bad knees, and you got a guy that fell into your lap for $2 million a year. And you know, if I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves because this is the Vikings after all, but if he takes us all away, somebody's going to grab him if the Vikings don't. But nice show, you guys. I listen to you every Sunday, or every post game, rather, and really enjoy it.
Roger, thank you for calling in, and happy Thanksgiving to you. Let's jump into our guy Matthew Collar here from the Purple Podcast. That's a good segue, because I think Roger's the one who ripped Matthew like 2 weeks ago and said that he should go back to Buffalo. So he's handing the baton to you now, Matthew.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. It's a perfect segue.
It really is. Matthew Collar, 1500ESPN.com and the Purple Podcast. What stood out to you the most in this Thanksgiving Day win by the Vikings today?
Let me just put the refereeing aside because I don't want my head to blow off.
Yeah.
I'll see you on the phone.
Yeah.
I think the obvious answer is Case Keenum stood out, especially in the first half. I mean, they were gifted the ball to go up 14-0, but then he, for the most part, kept the gas pedal down and made some really excellent throws today. And I think the biggest difference from Case Keenum today to some other games this year is that Mike Zimmer won't walk up to the podium after the game and say, "Hey, shouldn't have made this throw or shouldn't have made that throw." There was only maybe one or two throws that I think you could question his aggressiveness on the entire day. And that's good for Keenum. I mean, that's been one of his biggest issues in his career is just throwing it up for grabs. He did it once, a ball that should have been a pass interference. He did it at the end on a throw to McKinnon where he was pressured that he just kind of flung out there and got lucky that the linebacker wasn't looking. But he also made some really good throws. The one he drops into Kyle Rudolph is excellent. And then Pat Shurmur just continues to find great ways to use Case Keenum to get guys open. And here's Keenum's genius. Here's what makes him great. He decided to throw the ball to the best receiver every time.
Yeah.
He just throws it anytime he's in trouble, just Adam Thielen every time because no one can stop Adam Thielen. And, you know, it resulted in a great day for Keenum.
Yeah, it's a... We've had so many discussions about Keenum, and you've written so many great pieces on 1500ESPN.com, and I've been in wait-and-see mode. I think my official stance now, he's going to start the next road game in 10 days. He's going to. Like, there's zero chance unless Case Keenum gets hit by a bus at outside a family gathering tonight, he's going to start. I think your season, whether you love him, whether you're holding out and you're just waiting for the old Case Keenum to come back, I think the season now rides or dies with him as your quarterback because you're just getting too far into the year to dust off Teddy Bridgewater after 2 years without playing regular season or playoff football. Now, the defense is good enough to where you're not just leaning on the quarterback to win you games, but I think once you get into December here, there's just not enough time on the clock, not enough games on the schedule to knock the rust off Bridgewater, so you're riding or dying with Keenum, Kyler. That's my thought.
Well, the really positive thing for Case Keenum's case or argument would be that two of the last 3 weeks, their defense hasn't been super dominant. They allow 30 points against Washington, 23 today, and there were some holes there, and yet you were still able to come away with wins. And that's something that I wasn't sure could happen with Keenum, especially in his early starts, where you needed a dominant performance against the Ravens, or even as recently as Cleveland. You needed to entirely shut down their offense in order to give Keenum a chance. But two out of the last 3 weeks, he's shown that he can get you ahead in games, and he can go back and forth with another team when you need offensive production. And that was, I think, unclear early and has been unclear in his career whether he could actually do that. But as far as the, you know, I still see the pregame shows and everything else demanding that Mike Zimmer name him the starter. I don't think that you really have to do that. And I think that, you know, these next 2 weeks especially will probably decide that for us because you've got two very good opponents that you have to go on the road and play. And I think you'd still have time with Teddy Bridgewater over the last 3 weeks if you needed to turn back to him. You know what this feels a lot like? It feels like Dak Prescott and Tony Romo last year, where it was a conversation throughout the entire season, and Prescott just kept getting more comfortable and better. And eventually they just decided at the end of the year, okay, well, there's no chance that Romo's going to come back and be our quarterback now. And I think that's kind of what we're looking at here. And over the next couple of weeks, I think we'll know for sure. But I don't think that Mike Zimmer is going to make a decision unless his entire leadership group is on board with deciding to make a quarterback change. And right now, of course, nobody would be after these last three games from Case Keenum.
So, caller, basically what you're saying is sign Case Keenum to a $100 million five-year contract right now, right?
I mean, I heard the caller before talking about that. And I mean, I can't believe that anyone is thinking about the end of the season right now. I mean, you're 9-2, and I mean, you are in the driver's seat for a really special season here. I don't have any clue what's going to happen long-term with this quarterback position. I think that they want Teddy Bridgewater to be their franchise quarterback, but yes, if Case Keenum led them to a Super Bowl, it would be pretty darn hard to move on from him. But, I mean, you're getting way ahead of yourself there. I think they will have to make that decision when they have all the information, but the way Case Keenum is playing at this very moment, sure, you might sign up for him to be your long-term quarterback if he's going to give you these last 3 weeks all the time. But, you know, I don't think you can even start to think about that decision just now, especially with two very big games coming up. And if he continues to perform this way, then maybe that happens. But, I mean, I just can't imagine being a Vikings fan and thinking, hey, I wonder who's going to start in 2018.
Yeah, it's I agree. I mean, this is all about what's best for the next 2 months, what's best for the next two or three games. Vikings win 30-23 on Thanksgiving today in Detroit. They move to 9-2, now three games above the 6-5 Lions. The Packers are sitting there at 5-5 right now, if my math is correct on that. Yes, they play the Steelers this weekend. Okay, one last thing. I know you said that referees and that discussion was going to make your head explode. Our heads already exploded earlier. We have mopped up the mess. I need to know why in the NFL you can do an 11-man group turkey eating celebration or a home run derby celebration, which I don't want those to be removed from I want that to happen. But if you flip a football casually in the direction of a defender, that's 15 yards. Like, that's 15 yards. But if I hold a turkey up in the air as a football as a turkey and have 10 teammates gather around, like, but that's not taunting, you know? Like, what in the world?
I'm not even sure that Case Keenum was specifically trying to flip the ball at the defender. He might have just been flipping it back to the referee or in that direction, or just kind of frustratedly flipping it after getting sacked. He's not used to getting sacked, so maybe that was the reaction. I don't know. I mean, that's baffling to me. You don't want guys getting taken down and standing up and dodgeball style firing it at an opponent. I think that rule is supposed to be, not just like lobbing the ball at 1.8 miles per hour in the direction of the guy who just sacked you. I don't know. That one was only the 15th most baffling call that happened today, especially you know, when the Lions receivers, their tight end, drops the ball blatantly in the end zone, and then they almost don't review it. I mean, imagine how different this game might have been at the end there if they just kicked the extra point and there was no review and they just get the touchdown there. I mean, it's, you know, there were so many different things that happened today that were just mind-numbing with the referees. And you hope that maybe they had their Thanksgiving dinner early and were just tired and that no one could be that bad. But, you know, did you guys notice throughout the broadcast there were several times where Mike Pereira mentioned, oh, yeah, this guy's my best buddy. And he really screwed up some calls earlier this year. Like, he mentioned that twice, and I went, like, great. Great that he's working today, then.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's better than it's ever been with the refereeing and the replays and all that, but it still has its moments where you just can't believe it's real.
Yeah. It was and then they almost didn't take an extra look at the eventually overturned touchdown in the end zone. So,
like, the only reason why was because the Lions basically took too long to try and kick the extra point,
yeah.
And then the officials finally woke up and said, "Ah, let's take a look at this."
Exactly. So, all right, we're going to let Matthew Collar get on with his film grinding and content mashing in 1500ESPN.com and Purple Podcast. Happy Thanksgiving, Collar. Great insight, and we'll catch up soon, man.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, let's go back to the vent lines here. We're commercial free because of Red Rabbit and Red Cow on this Thanksgiving. Thank you guys for listening and taking time out of your family gatherings. We enjoy bringing you Vikings Vent Line every week during the season and even on these holidays. Let's go to Mitchell in Florida. You're on with Phil Mackey and Manny Hill.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, guys. Just wanted to share a couple of comments. The context is I've been a Vikings fan for 31 years. So, you know, been through a lot of these types of games. And just a couple of thoughts. I was thinking, number one, we are finally on the other side of the scenario where we're getting other teams' best shots. Like, they are circling our team on their schedule and looking to beat us. And so it's going to be tough. It's going to be a grind. And I think looking at things, it would be nice for us to get big plays all the time, but it's not always going to come. On offense, my real takeaway was that, you know what, there weren't too many missed plays today. I feel like the theme is going to be moving down the road. It's going to be a dogfight every single game, and the key is going to be, will Rudolph make that catch? Will we bust into the end zone when we need to? Will we make the full interception when we get the chance? Like, capitalizing on those plays and not missing plays, and I saw that as positive. On the defense, you know, we had sacks when we had the opportunity. We had interception when we had the opportunity. The only thing on my mind right now is that I'm worried that our kicker is getting the yips. That's the only thing. And with the pressure building, these dogfights happening, there's going to be a point where his kick matters. And I don't know how that's going to play out. That's it. I hope all of you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and thank you very much.
Mitchell, great stuff. Case Keenum, Kai Forbath, like, it's a prove-it year for both of them.
Yeah.
And Case Keenum continues to get better and better. Kai Forbath feels like he was hot for like 3 or 4 weeks. And there was one where it was 90% bad hold bad hold. Mm-hmm. The snap wasn't terrible. But you just don't feel like if a key playoff game was happening tomorrow that Kai Forbath is going to line up with a ton of confidence. And as a fan, you're going to have confidence. Yeah. And
well, and it's tough too, Phil, because finding a good kicker, it seems like it should be easy, but it's really not. I mean, you have the kickers that, you know, the all-time great, you know, clutch kickers, you know, the Adam Vinatieri's of the world and whatnot. You know, Steven Gostkowski's been really good with New England for a long time since Vinatieri left there. But Blair Walsh was, as a rookie, was terrific. And then all of a sudden he misses that kick against Seattle, and then he's just he's been a train wreck ever since.
Although, did you hear, he missed the potential game tire earlier this week. Was it the Monday night game? Yeah, it was Falcons and Seahawks.
Yep.
And he was short from 52 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And his excuse after the game, verbatim, was, I was a little too accurate.
Because
it was down the middle, but it was short. He said, I was a little too accurate on that one. I should have probably put a little more leg into it to make sure it went far enough.
Man.
Dude.
Yeah. It's so tough because, well, let's remember why Kai Forbath is here. Because the Vikings cut Blair Walsh, sent him packing, and brought in Kai Forbath was the replacement.
Yeah.
And now we're worried about Kai Forbath. Like, I guess my point is, I don't know what you do. You just kind of, you either cut him and maybe bring another. I mean, do you cut him and bring in another guy? I mean,
you just stick with him at this point.
Yeah, you stick with him and you just cross your fingers and you just hope that when you need him, if the game is tied late, he drills it. What do you do?
It's the same strategy that you're implementing with Case Keenum.
Yeah.
Well, do you put in Bridgewater? Like, well, no, you can't. I mean, for different reasons. For Kai Forbath, you're just kind of hoping that, all right, there's a couple blips here, a bad hold. With Keenum, You know that there's not a huge track record there, and you're just hoping that he can either remain this guy going forward the rest mm-hmm. of the year, or maybe even remain this guy going forward beyond the season. 651-646-8255, Vikings Vent Line on AM 1500, ESPN Twin Cities, KSTP Minneapolis, St. Paul. Blake, what's going on, man?
Hello?
We'll put Blake back on hold there. In fact, let's do this. Let's take a quick break because we've been live for an hour on Ventline, thanks to Red Cow and Red Rabbit. One more segment of Vikings Ventline, your last chance on this Thanksgiving to get your thoughts in on the 9-2 Vikings. The officiating from today was a big topic. Case Keenum continues his torrid pace of great quarterback play. We'll take your thoughts and comments for one more segment. 651-646-8255, 877-615-1500. Thank you for streaming live on Facebook as well. We're going to say goodbye to the Facebook crowd, facebook.com/1500ESPN. Back with more Ventline.
Here's what you may have missed on a recent Purple podcast.
Thielen's ability to get open just amazes me. And if you come to a game here live and watch it, just watch him. It's almost like he is playing schoolyard football. He just continues to move and move and move. And the great thing is, for the most part, if the pass is thrown in his vicinity, he's going to catch it. His unwillingness to give up on a route or give up on a play and continually go where he needs to go to be an option is really fun to watch. And it seems like, oh yeah, duh, he gets paid lots of cash to do that. That should be simple. You see a lot of guys who, when the play starts to go south, are like, well, I was open and now I'm not. Adam Thielen's willingness to make himself a target consistently is a huge, huge thing.
You can find the Purple Podcast on iTunes, Podcast One, or 1500ESPN.com's podcast page.
A new year is full of surprises, but one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services. So when postage goes up, your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com is like your own personal post office, wherever you are. You can even take care of orders on the go with the mobile app. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Schedule package pickups, automatically find the cheapest and fastest shipping options, and seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. There's even a supply store where you can stock up on mailing supplies, labels, even printers. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. All you need is a computer or phone and printer. Take a chunk out of your mailing and shipping costs this year with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.
That'll do it.
The game's over. Now the fun begins. You've sat on your duff watching the Purple play. Time to get in the game with your reaction to how the Purple played.
Our run defense was just gas.
He seemed uncomfortable running out of the shotgun.
Put a team on the field that has no preparation.
You gotta find the middle linebacker.
Ugh.
This is Vikings Ventline, presented by Red Cow and Red Rabbit on 1500 ESPN.
Four tackles missed, four, now five extra points. As it's blocked by Robinson. And instead of 7-0, it's 6-0. 53-yard try by Forbath. And that one is knocked away.
Man, little troll job there by Jonathan. Of all the highlights you could play after this Vikings victory, and Jonathan chooses to troll on this Thanksgiving. That's why we love him. We have one more segment here if you want to chime in and give your thoughts or opinions on this Vikings win over the Lions, where the Vikings stand at 9-2. How far do you think they can go? What are your thoughts on Case Keenum? What about the refs today? We've talked a lot about the atrocious officiating, and this show doesn't do the atrocious officiating thing very often, even when, you know, when Star's in here. But 651-646-8255, 877-615-1500. Red Cow and Red Rabbit are powering Vikings Ventline. Let's go right back to the phones here. Blake, happy Thanksgiving, man. You're on the show.
Yep, you too. Can you hear me this time?
Yep, we got you this time.
Okay, I'm going to talk about Forbath here. I disagree with you guys. I think this is the last straw for him. I really think they should search for someone else. I mean, it's tough, but I think they should do that. And talking about the officials, they were just horrible today. I don't know if it was for the ratings. They didn't want it to be a blowout, but yeah, that was pretty poor officiating.
Yeah, so on Blake, on the kicker thing, and thank you for calling. Happy Thanksgiving. He ain't Adam Vinatieri, so let's start there. We agree he ain't Adam Vinatieri.
Right.
And he makes you nervous. If you're breaking down the reasons why he makes you nervous, be honest as a Vikings fan. Be self-aware here. I'm going to try and exhibit some self-awareness myself, having watched the 98 Gary Anderson missed kick, the Blair Walsh 27-yard hook against the Seahawks. Part of our nervousness is grounded in our reference points and roots as Vikings fans and followers.
Yeah.
We start at a higher level of anxiousness than a lot of other fan bases because of the critical missed kicks in the history of this franchise. So that's part of it. Now, the other hard thing is there's only about 15 to 20 truly reliable place kickers in the world,
yeah,
much like quarterbacks. There's only about 20 really reliable quarterbacks in the world. Everyone is trying to find one of those 15 or 20 at both positions, and that leaves 10 or 12 teams, 15 teams, out in the cold with a guy they don't trust taking snaps or a guy they don't trust lining up for big kicks.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's. I think it's very easy to just say, you know, cut Forbath and go get somebody else. Bring somebody else in. The thing that we have to remember is if you're going to release Kai Forbath and bring somebody else, there's a reason why the guy you're bringing in is not on a roster right now. There's a reason. I mean, let's be honest. The Vikings, you know, Blair Walsh falls apart last year. He's a mess. The Vikings cut him loose, and they bring in Kai Forbath. There's a reason why Kai Forbath is a free agent.
Right.
And that you're able to bring him in.
And there's nobody sitting on a couch right now that's Adam Vinatieri from 2001.
So you can just say, well, you know, release Forbath and bring somebody else in. And if he's not good, then release him and bring somebody else. But at some point, you're just, I mean, we're 11 games into this thing now. At some point, you just got to roll with the guy you have and just cross your fingers and hope that when the game's on a line and you need him to make a big kick, that he makes it. Yeah. I mean, that's all you can really do.
Like the Forbath argument is there a guy sitting on a couch that's better than him and can be reliable for the next 5 regular season games and whatever you do in the postseason? At least the Case Keenum argument up until this point has been, I think you might have tipped me off to this, to the Mike Wilbon tweet Mike Zimmer's been getting hammered for not naming Case Keenum the starting quarterback. And Mike Wilbon tweeted something today like, don't be a dummy like the Buffalo coach. That's a different scenario. No one had ever heard of Nathan Peterman before last week. And now people know him for the wrong reason.
I had mildly heard of him because he's a former Tennessee Vol quarterback who transferred to Pittsburgh. But that's just me.
Exactly. Can you read that tweet real quick, Jonathan, just for context? I'm getting to a grander point here, but go ahead and read that tweet.
It says, and Zimmer wants to seriously consider benching this QB. He wants to be McDermott dumb.
McDermott dumb, yeah. Well, it's different when you have a guy who was once speculated as the number one overall pick, a first rounder that you tabbed as your franchise quarterback, and now the system is in place and the offensive line is in place and the weapons are in place to maybe help that franchise quarterback thrive, but the backup is on fire. Like, that's a different conversation than, well, let's just go to this Nathan Peterman random dude who was a 60% completion guy at Pitt, for God's sakes. Like, he wasn't even accurate at Pitt.
I just don't understand why everybody's so fixated on Mike Zimmer, you know, telling the media that he's going to stick with Case Keenum the rest. Who cares?
It doesn't matter.
Who cares? It doesn't matter.
The locker room's not clamoring for it. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Case Keenum is playing well regardless. I mean, let it go. He's playing.
He's playing well.
Leave it. It's fine.
651-646-8255, 877-615-1500. Time for maybe another call or two here, and then we got to go eat some Thanksgiving food. Tony, what's going on? You're on the show.
Yeah. Hey, the only point I'm making, like on the caller before, is the games are going to get tighter and tighter, and how many points has the kicking, either the kicker or the kicking team, cross this team week after week after week as the games are going to get tighter and tighter? That's my only fear, is that, you know, they're not going to get it done when they have to.
Yeah, I would fear the same thing.
Yeah.
There's just nothing you can really do about it.
There's nothing you can do. I mean, I have the same fear. I have the same fear with Case Keenum. I like the way he's playing right now, but you and Star have heard me say, I've been saying it for weeks, I'm worried that he's going to have that Brian Hoyer game that Brian Hoyer had against Kansas City 2 years ago for the Texans, where he throws 5 picks and he's brutal.
Dude, you know what's funny?
I'm not guaranteeing that's going to happen, but I'm worried that that's going to happen because Case Keenum is playing good football for the first time in his career.
Yeah, you brought up Brian Hoyer. I actually, I randomly pulled this up during the commercial break, the Brian Hoyer game log from the 2015 Texans season,
mm-hmm.
where he wasn't, again, he was undrafted, not highly touted at any point. He wasn't a first round pick or maybe a first overall pick.
Yep.
So not highly touted. He was a backup for several years. And then he gets his shot. And he had been a starter with Cleveland for a while, and that's why he signed with Houston. So there mm-hmm. was there were some okay performances there with Cleveland.
Well, I remember one year they came in, he was a starter for the Browns, and they came into the Dome and beat the Vikings, 2013, I think it was, yeah.
Yes.
And Norv Turner was the offensive coordinator for the Browns at that time.
So he had been a starter, but it was decidedly backup caliber yeah. for the most part, much like Case Keenum. And then he gets his shot with a really good defense, some weapons, DeAndre Hopkins, one of the better receivers in the NFL,
yep.
good offensive line, and just a good infrastructure in Houston.
Running game.
Yep, just like Case Keenum has here with the Vikings in Minnesota. And I'm just going up and down this game log. Brian Hoyer, I mean, that dude's going 230, two touchdowns and no picks, 312, two touchdowns, 293, three touchdowns, no picks, 10-point win on the road. 273, three touchdowns, one interception. Here's
that sounds eerily familiar.
235, two touchdowns, no picks. Here's a 293 on the road, three touchdowns, only one pick. And the defense is great. Hoyer's having a career year. Oh my God, like lock him up. It's the same thing. And then when the pressure really cranks up and you face Andy Reid in the playoffs, mm-hmm. Kansas City. You face a great scheming coach and a really well put together team because that's what you face in the playoffs. He was atrocious.
Abysmal. Awful.
And it was four interceptions. So I don't mean to end this episode on a buzzkill, but just to explain why some people, including the two of us in this room, aren't mm-hmm. all in on Case Keenum, that's why.
Yeah.
Guys get hot, guys come in as backups, and then when you start to face great teams in the playoffs, and you don't have the Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson. I think it's okay to praise Case Keenum and still yeah. be somewhat skeptical. It's okay
yeah,
to ride that gray area a little bit.
I just don't understand why we have to be 100% on one side or the other. What's wrong with being in the middle? What's wrong with just saying, what's wrong with objectively looking at the situation and saying, okay, Case Keenum's playing well. You know, he was really good today, made some nice plays and some nice throws. Pocket presence was really good. I'm just not sure this is going to hold up long term. I'd like to see it hold up long term, but I'm not entirely sure. And then the immediate pushback is, well, you got to, you know, Keenum's the guy and you got to just let him be. And Zimmer's got to name him the starter going yeah. forward and sign him to an extension. It's like, calm down, yeah. folks.
The amount of guys who go, to add to the skepticism, I guess, the amount of guys who go undrafted to star or franchise quarterback, Tony Romo? I mean, Brady was drafted, at least.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson was a third-round pick, at least. So, again, I mean, not to be Buzz Killingtons, but that explains, because there's a lot of people wondering, and we're getting tweets about it, why won't you guys just paint yourselves in Case Keenum body paint, like, go all in.
go get your number 7 jersey right now.
We're enjoying the season. Pat Shurmur has been a masterful play caller. The offensive line has been incredible. Case Keenum's playing the best football of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Latavius Murray is back. This defense is top 3 in the NFL. They're going to win the division. Everything's going well. It's just, I guess it's just guarded optimism from longtime Vikings fans. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, man.
So happy Thanksgiving to everybody listening, to you guys, Jonathan and Manny, hanging out on this holiday. Superstar for calling in, Matthew Collar. We're going to be live 9-1 tomorrow on Mackie and Judd. If anyone wants to join us on Black Friday, if you want to get away from the shopping, the family, if you're out and about shopping, put some buds in and tune us in 9-1 tomorrow. We're going to be live talking about this game and mixing in your phone calls. So thank you to Red Cow and Red Rabbit. Hope everyone enjoys the rest of their holiday and the other two football games. Vikings Ventline on demand if you missed any of it. 1500ESPN.com and iTunes. We'll catch you next time.
Here's a missed handoff and an early turnover as they tried to get it to Abdullah. And it was Daniil Hunter there for the recovery. Keenum keeps it, looking for a block. Touchdown, Minnesota. Just got it away. Stafford in trouble and brought down from behind. That's Griffin. They start it with a run by Murray. And Latavius Murray breaks loose. Good start to this second half. Out of bounds near the 30. Murray gets it. Cuts back. And Murray is in for the touchdown.
Skol Vikings, let's win this game. Skol Vikings, honor your name. Go get that first down, then get a touchdown. Rock 'em, suck 'em, fight, 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 fight. Go Vikings, run up the score. You'll hear us yell for more.
A new year is full of surprises, but one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services. So when postage goes up, your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com is like your own personal post office, wherever you are. You can even take care of orders on the go with the mobile app. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Schedule package pickups, automatically find the cheapest and fastest shipping options, and seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. There's even a supply store where you can stock up on mailing supplies, labels, even printers. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. All you need is a computer or phone and printer. Take a chunk out of your mailing and shipping costs this year with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com code PROGRAM.